thank Brother Harold for that, and I'm going to ask you to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Isaiah as we continue looking at some of the highlights through the book of Isaiah. There are six verses in Isaiah 12, so I'm going to read the whole thing this morning. Isaiah chapter 12, but the subject matter that I would like to bring before you, if God would help, is in the third verse. But let's read it all together here. Isaiah chapter 12, all six verses. "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortedst me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore," now this is my text right here, "therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted." If we're going to say those things, we're going to have to say something. You know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, you can't say so if you don't say something. Just saying. Verse 5, "Sing unto the Lord." Sing unto the Lord. "For he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Now this is one of the many places in the book of Isaiah that speaks prophetically of the New Testament church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what this is talking about. When it says in that day, both in verses 1 and 4, it's speaking of the New Testament era when Christ would come, set up his New Testament church and kingdom. And by the way, he got the job done. "With all my heart, I say to you, you're in it right now." I need your prayers bad. People that are waiting for Christ to set up his kingdom are going to miss it because it's already here. He did not fail, nor was he discouraged when he came to set up his New Testament church and kingdom. Now, the verse that I want, though, is, and look at all this stuff that we're supposed to be saying that's in here. We're supposed to be praising the Lord, verse 1. We're supposed to be praising him because he was angry with us, but his anger is turned away. And when I read that, I thought about how God had every right to be angry with us for our sinfulness. And in a sense, he was angry with us. But through what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, his anger was turned away. Do we have a reason to be thankful? We're supposed to be saying, God is my salvation. Not God plus me. Not God plus the preacher. Not God plus the Bible. Not God plus the church. Not God plus anything. God is my salvation. Isn't that great? As Brother Harold said in his comments in prayer, the Lord saved us when we didn't even want to be saved. You know, dead people don't want anything. I just wish everybody had enough of that. So we're supposed to be saying, I will trust, I won't be afraid. We ought to trust the Lord. Every one of us ought to trust the Lord more than we do. For the future. Right? I mean, I hear stuff all the time that I just scratch my head and I wonder, how can a grown person people believe and espouse such stuff. Don't you? Well, I got to learn to trust the Lord. We should be saying, He is our strength. He is our salvation. He is my song. We're supposed to be calling upon His name. We're supposed to be declaring His doings. Have you declared any of His doings? All you got to do is say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Make mention that His name is exalted. One statement I love, God is good all the time. God is good, He's good all the time, even when He's chastising me for my wickedness. He's good. Isn't that right? The Lord doesn't do that just to be mean. He does that to correct us. We're supposed to cry out and shout. And notice it says, thou inhabitant of Zion. Remember now, Zion in Scripture was a picture of the New Testament church, Hebrews 12 and 13, which I will not take the time to refer you, but you believe me, don't you? Mount Golgot, Zion, mark ye well her bulwarks, tell the towers thereof. It's the church that we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be in the big middle of the church. And if you're not in it, you need to get in it. I'll tell you how at the end of this sermon, God willing. But verse 3 is what I would really like to comment upon. Therefore, because of all that the Lord has done, with joy, and we've been studying joy in Bible study, did you know joy is a choice you make? To rejoice is a choice. We have reason to have joy in our hearts at all times in our lives. The family of Charles Sandage and their loss has caused to have joy in their hearts. Because I just thought about, when I heard about Brother Charles' death, you know what I thought? Good for him. He's now released from the bondage of corruption. He is released from it. And in heaven with the Lord, he preached about for 50 plus years. Isn't that great? Amen. His family has got cause to have joy even as they grieve the loss of their father, grandfather, etc. I think we ought to be joyous all the time. Am I joyous all the time? No. We choose to be grouchy. Do we not? And we say to ourselves, I have good cause to be grouchy. Do we not? Maybe you don't, but your laughter makes me think you might. Therefore, with joy, let us draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now, I wonder, he's speaking of the New Testament church age and saying that we in the New Testament age ought to draw water out of the wells of salvation. And he's speaking to people who are already saved. Isn't that great? Now, to tell you what I really think's going on here, I want you to read with me in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And I'm going to wait for you to get there, so hurry up. Deuteronomy, chapter 6, okay? Deuteronomy 6, and this is, as you turn there, Moses is toward the end of his life, and God is giving the children, the nation of Israel, advice and counsel as he draws near to the end of his life. Moses is. He's telling them to trust the Lord. He's telling them what they should do when they finally enter the land of Canaan. And you know, Moses is not going to go to the land of Canaan. Joshua is going to take over the leadership of the people and lead them into the land of Canaan. And Moses is giving them his farewell address, really, kind of like his farewell address of what they ought to do and how they ought to obey and follow the Lord. So let us read verses 10 through 15. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And here's what he said to the people as they were fixing to enter into the land of Canaan. And incidentally, Canaan is a type or picture of the church. Canaan is not a type of heaven. You better hope not, because if Canaan's a type of heaven, some of God's chosen people never made it to heaven. Don't give me that. All of God's chosen people are going to go to heaven because of the death of Christ. But a bunch of the Lord's people, more than I like to admit, don't get into the church, Zion, the kingdom of God, for whatever the reason. Okay? Don't you think that churched people are all that are going to heaven. Don't you ever think that. Okay? You know, the church hasn't always existed. The Bible hasn't always existed. The gospel hasn't always existed. Preachers have not always existed. Well, I wonder how people went to heaven, but when none of that ever existed. Just let you think about that. Here's Moses' advice to them, Deuteronomy 6 and 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. So they came into the land of Canaan, and there were already cities over there that they didn't even have to build. And houses full of all good things which thou fillest not. So there's houses, Walmarts and grocery stores full of stuff that you didn't even have to fill it. In other words, there's provision over there that you did not provide in Canaan. Are you thinking church? Cities built in the kingdom of God that you didn't have to build. Provision in the kingdom of God that you didn't provide. That's what you should be thinking as I'm reading now. And wells digged which thou diggest not. So when they came into the land of Canaan, there were wells of water over there. Wells of water that somebody else had already dug, and they didn't even have to dig them. The wells of water are over there in the land of Canaan. You didn't even have to dig them. So look at all this stuff that's going to be in the land of Canaan for them. Cities, provision, wells of water that they didn't have to dig. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have... And then notice he gives them a warning. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, okay, when you come into the land of Canaan, and this is a warning to every church member, when you're in the church and you get to partake of the cities that you didn't build, and you get to partake of the provision that you didn't provide, and you get to draw water out of the wells of salvation and you didn't even dig them, and you get to partake of the vineyards and the olive trees that you didn't plant. Beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, or the gods of the other people which are round about you. What a warning to the church. I want more people to come to Point Remove Church. If you do too, say amen. But I am not willing to water down the doctrine to get them in here. I'm not willing to go against God's word to get them in here. Y'all follow what I'm saying? We're not allowed to do that. I need to get them in here. I've been fussed at as a pastor because the people will say, well, you're never satisfied. You're never satisfied. And I always say to that, correct. I don't think there's room for us to be satisfied in our labors in the kingdom of God. I think we ought to be more satisfied with the amount of stuff we got. Now, don't you? Satisfied with our 2 Silverados and a 3-car garage and everything. But we should never be satisfied with our spirituality. We should never be satisfied with the number of folks that are in the kingdom of God. Well, that's enough of that. Here's the deal. In the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is where the wells of water are. Did you notice? Those wells of water were in the land of Canaan. The wells of water were not in the Sinai Peninsula. The wells of water were not down in Egypt. So the Lord brought them up out of Egypt, and that's a picture of Him saving all of His people. He brought them all up out of Egypt, and some of the people that He brought up out of Egypt never got into the land of Canaan to get some of that water. Where were the wells of water? They were in Canaan. They were in Palestine. Joshua was fixing to take the people in there, and they were going to have those wells that they never did get a chance to. They didn't even dig them, but they were going to have the chance to draw water. Now, here's the point. Who gets benefit from water? Dead people or alive people? Living people are the ones that get benefit from water. Amen? Dead people are not thirsty. Dead people do not want water. So, if you're here today, and you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and you're here and you're thirsting after the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, you are spiritually alive, or you would not have that thirst. Now, where can you go to get water to quench your thirst? Where can you go? Do you need to join the Rotary Club? I'm not saying anything against the Rotary Club. I'm not. Lots of good people are part of the Rotary Club. They do good stuff. I'm not against that. Is that what you need to do to get the water that I'm talking about today? Y'all follow what I'm saying? Where are the wells of water? The wells of water are in the land of Canaan. The wells of water are near Mount Zion. The wells of water are in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is what this is talking about. And we are commanded in Isaiah 12 and 3, to with joy... with joy, draw water out of these wells. Now, we're to do that with joy. I tell you, we ought to be overcome with joy that the wells are even here. The Lord did not have to dig these wells. He did not have to leave them for us. Right? You would go to heaven if you never got a drink of this water. Are you with me? A lot of people are going to go to heaven never having had a drink of this water. How much joy should we have to have this water available to us? It's a spiritual blessing. Isn't it great? With joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation that are in the kingdom of God in that day. He's saying that's what's going to be. Now I would... The number... The number of salvations that are available to God's children in the church are innumerable, I think. The number of salvations, timely salvations, gospel salvations, deliverances from all of the so many different things that bother us and plague us and worry us and aggravate us, those salvations... To enumerate, are available to God's children in the kingdom of God, in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How many things have you been saved from? How long would it take you to thank God for all of that? Let me tell you something. You're here today. Being here today has saved you from something. I'll tell you one thing it saved you from. The chastisement you might would get if you just disobeyed God and stayed home. Amen. And the fellowship that we get with each other. Okay, so there's so many of these. But what I wanted to do was just list a few that I think are primary wells of salvation. Notice they're plural wells. Wells. Wells of salvation that you and I can draw from. And before I go further, I want to tell you a story. Also, I'm not going to refer to this. I'm not going to give you the passage. But there was a time when Abraham came into the land of Canaan and he dug some wells. And then he left and went down into Egypt. And then when he came back up out of Egypt and brought Isaac with him, the doggone Philistines had filled those wells up with trash and dirt and dead animals. So you know what Isaac had to do? Isaac had to dig again the same wells that his father dug. Now I want to make a lesson out of that. Now it didn't say here they were supposed to dig the wells, but I want you to listen to me. These wells are in the church, and sometimes, y'all listen, these wells can get stopped up with trash and debris and earth. Now, the Philistines put earth in the wells to fill them up. And you want to know the earth that gets in our wells more than any other earth? Our own. And I want to make a comment out of that. Isaac had to dig the exact same wells his father dug in the land of Canaan. And may I say that every generation that comes along, I love the fact we got some generations in here. Don't you? We got, I don't know how many generations we've got. 3 or 4 maybe. Every generation that comes along has got to dig the same wells that the generation before them dug. You got to dig the dirt and the trash and the debris out. And sometimes it's our own that we got to get out of there. Amen. You know, I am my own worst enemy. I am lazy and no account. Amen. I knew he was going to say amen there. I'm lazy and sorry and no account. I am my own worst enemy when it comes to serving God. Maybe sometimes you feel the same way. We got to get to our own earth out of the wells. And every generation has got to dig those wells again. So, alrighty, I'm going to say Brother Harold's a generation, and I'm a generation, and Seth's a generation. We got at least 3 generations, maybe even 4 in this church, and every one of those generations need to dig the same wells. Dig the same well. You say, well, that's boring. That's so limiting. What if I want to get over here and dig my own little well over here? You better watch that. Brother Harold and I were talking about Charles Sandage and his faithful ministry of over 50 years. He was a great and profound preacher of the Bible. I want to dig the same wells he dug. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Ministerially speaking, doctrinally speaking. I better be careful when I get over here and dig me a new well of doctrine. Y'all following what I'm saying? I better be pretty careful if I get over here and dig me a new well of practice or ethics or morality, and boy, there's a bunch of that being propounded these days. Let me tell you that most of what they call the new morality these days is immorality. I am weary of it. Don't be digging no... Be careful digging new wells. We just need to dig the same wells. Now that does not mean that Grandpa and Grandma were perfect. We should not and must not idolize them. That is a big mistake. We need to dig the wells God dug. Get the dirt out, and that's okay. Now what I wanted to do though, so there's some lessons just about these wells. Where are the wells? They're in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're wells of salvation. Salvation's for me and you. By the way, do you need it? I tell you, let me just tell you some things you need saving from. I've already mentioned one. One is yourself. You need saving from yourself. I need saving from myself because I'm stubborn and lazy and no account. I need saving from that. I need to get up off my chair. Boy, I love it when the people help me preach. Come on, folks. Get up off the stool of do nothing. Get off my chair and get going in the service of God. Don't we all? I'm my own worst. I need saving from myself. I need saving from fear. I need saving from fear of rejection. How many times do we not say something because we're afraid it might be rejected? I'm guilty as charged. Guilty. Guilty, guilty. I need saving from a lot of things that Gary Harvey's the problem. I also need saving from a bunch of ridiculousness that's taught in the theological world. The idea are going to go to hell, I need saving from that. I want to be delivered from that. I don't want to call Christ a failure. Did Christ fail? Or did he succeed in absolutely everything the Father sent him? I want to be delivered from that. I want to be delivered from the immorality that is propounded today, that's being set out as a new morality, the new morality, which is really the old immorality. I want to be saved from that too. And how many temptations do we need to be saved from? How many? I mean, you know, I don't know what tempts you. Cheeseburgers tempt me. Big time. My wife said, "Don't you ever get tired of cheeseburgers?" I said, "I haven't yet." Desserts, just to be. Y'all got any of that going on in your life? Do we not need to be saved from temptations? Okay, let me just give you three or four, as time allows, wells of salvation that I believe are in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Deep wells of water that we can draw out of. And by the way, most of the time I like a drink of water on a consistent, regular basis, don't you? How dumb would I be if I just had a drink of water once a week? Say amen. You need water every day. You need to draw water out of these wells on a consistent basis. That text where it says, "Be ye filled with the Spirit, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." That's not a one-time thing. How frequently do you fill your tank? We need to be filled with the Spirit over and over and over. We need to draw water out of these wells over and over and over. In fact, it ought to be a daily thing that we draw water out of the wells of salvation. You say, "Well, we're not organized, we're not gathered as a church all the time." That's true, but that doesn't mean these wells aren't available to you. All right, let me just list a few of what I think are fabulous wells of salvation. Number one, perhaps most important. Number one, a deep well of salvation that's available in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to all the Lord's children is the gospel itself. Let me read you one. Hey, does the gospel save you? Do the truths of the gospel save you? Does a gospel sermon save you? Absolutely. Let me read to you now from Romans chapter 1. If you'll turn to it, let's look at Romans 1 together. Boy, in fact, this may be the single most important well of salvation that's in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe the most important. It's not the only one I want to list, but I think it is the most important. The gospel itself. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, very familiar. You know it as well as I. This is the well of salvation. Hey, by the way, are we supposed to draw water out of the wells of salvation? Yes. How are we supposed to do that? With a grouchy attitude? With joy, draw water out of the wells of salvation. Okay. Even if it's me doing the preaching, you should be here with joy. If it's John doing the preaching, Brother Harold, whoever it is, be here with joy to draw water out of that deep well of salvation. And boy, it'll be good for you. I remember a sermon Charles Sandage preached 25 years ago on Genesis chapter 24. I'm still drawing water out of that well. Genesis 24. You remember when Abraham sends a servant out to get a bride for Isaac? Remember that? What a sermon. Okay, maybe I'll preach that to you sometime. Not today. But he sends a bride out, and Charles Sandage, in tremendous power and strategy, preached that sermon, and it was all I could do to be still. I remember it 25 years ago, and so many things Brother Harold preached that I still remember. Learn from. I'm drawing water out of that well today. Y'all with me? The gospel is a tremendous well of water, spiritual water, that will keep you going. By the way, you ought to be thirsty for it. And incidentally, if you're not thirsty for it, I don't know what's something that ain't right. A living person gets thirsty. Maybe if we're not thirsty enough, we're not working hard enough. You know, I work hard, I get thirsty. Boy, that's terrible to say that. When I mow the yard, I get thirsty. I have never chopped cotton. I bet if I did, though, I'd be thirsty. Amen. Isn't that like September and like the dog days? And I don't even want to think about that. But I allow I'd be thirsty and I'd need frequent. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. Is there salvation in the gospel? Absolutely. By the way, that should be really our reason for wanting more people in Point Remove Church, that they would be saved in this manner I'm describing. That's the reason. It's not to just pad our roles or say we've got more people. Who gives a care about that? We should want God's children to get some of this water. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Under whom? To everyone that believeth. That means born again people. The gospel doesn't do a bit of good for a person that's dead in sins. Not one bit. Any more than Morse code would do you if you were dead in sins. How much would you get out of a Morse message if you were dead? You going to understand that if you're dead? You got to have the code anyway. Look, the gospel has great salvation to all that believe, to the Jew, and I love to the Jew first and to the Greek. This is for everybody. I love it. When I think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, here's what I think about it. It's one size fits all. It's for every one of God's children. It's for the youngest child of God in the congregation today. Even a born-again infant, the gospel is for that baby. The gospel can touch their soul, even if they don't understand what's going on. I've got John the Baptist for my proof. It's for the youngest child of God. It's for the oldest child of God. I don't know who the oldest one in here, probably Sister Elaine. It's for the oldest one too. It's for all of them in between. It's for collegiate people. It's for people that have never been to college. It's for everybody. I love it, don't you? One size fits all gospel. By the way, that's why we're family integrated here at Point Remove. And we were family integrated before there was ever a term, family integrated. In other words, we like the children in here with us during church. Say amen. The young ones too. And incidentally, mom and dad can make them behave. Mom and dad can make them behave. We got a cry room back there. Mom and dad can make them behave. Poor Becky, all the years we had kids, I was in the pulpit preaching, and she had a wooden spoon in the diaper bag. I couldn't help while I was in the pulpit, although I did scold the boys. I have scolded them from the pulpit during my preaching. I've interrupted and said, John, sit down. I've done that a time or two, but not very often. Most of the time, Becky had to take, but Becky could make him behave. By the way, why am I saying all this? I have no idea. Well, this is some salvation involved in gospel. Y'all look, you know that's good for children to learn how to behave? Kids being in church is good for the kids to learn how to behave. Sit still for an hour. Be still. Go to the bathroom before church. Don't go during church if you can help it. No, I understand that. Teach your children. It's good for them to be in church. And if you think they aren't listening, how many of you were here the other day when I said knucklehead from the pulpit? Were y'all here? Was that a week ago, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, I said God calls knuckleheads to preach. Knuckleheads. Caleb and Rhett said, he said knucklehead. Don't tell me they're not listening. That baby, he may be crawling around the floor playing with these Tonka trucks. Don't you think the sermon, gospel, doesn't affect the least little child that's born again? I'm telling you, it's for everybody. It's a well of salvation. It tells us of what Christ has done for us, does it not? By the way, you're not going to hear that just everywhere. Trying to be mean. Or as Brother Harold tells me, I should say, you're trying not to be mean. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm trying not to be mean, but you're not going to hear that just everywhere. The doctrine of the complete, finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And not only so, the gospel tells us how we're supposed to live as a result, does it not? The gospel tells us not only how we're supposed to live as a result of the fact that we're saved, it tells us that we're supposed to live because we're saved, not in order to become saved. Eternally, I'm speaking of. By the way, did you know that matters? Otherwise, you're using God and the church as a fire escape. The gospel is not a fire escape. But boy, is it a well of salvation. I want you to just think of how much the gospel has saved you from in your own personal life. I'll tell you one thing. It'll save you to the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, not Buddha, not Allah, not Joseph Smith. Christ was the Son of God. He's the only begotten Son of the Father. The gospel will save you in that way, won't it? You won't be waiting. I'll tell you something else the gospel will save you. You will not be waiting for Messiah to come. The gospel will let you know Messiah has already been here. You're not waiting for Messiah to come. Well, I mean, let me qualify that. You're not waiting on Messiah to come the first time. We are waiting on him to come the second time without sin unto salvation. But we're not waiting on Messiah to come and redeem us. We're not waiting on him to come and set up the church. We're not waiting on that. Christ has already come. How great is it that you know that? How great is it? How great is it that you've been taught about the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That's a well of salvation. That'll save you. Knowing he was conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of a Jewish virgin, that also lets us understand he didn't have sinful nature. He didn't have a debt to owe God so he could pay our debt. He didn't owe God anything so he could pay our debt that we owed God. Isn't that great? Does that save you? I just want you to stop and think a minute about the salvations that you have been given from the well of salvation that is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then to think about how lightly I think sometimes we esteem it. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. If you believe it, it's a salvation to you. I love the fact that in the salvation, in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is taught the morality, the ethics that God approves of. God's ethical and moral standard. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad you know something about that? Aren't you glad? I am very thankful that the Bible tells me to be faithful to Becky. Can you say amen? God says be faithful to Becky. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am better off if I will do that. Say amen. My children are better off. I'm not saying I'm perfect husband. Y'all hear me? I'm not saying that at all. Becky knows that. She can tell you that I'm not a perfect husband, but she cannot give you specific detailed information to support that. Say amen, church. I am not a perfect husband, but I'm telling you what the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me how to be a husband. By the way, the Bible's a pretty deep well of salvation, wouldn't you say amen? But I'm specifically speaking of the gospel and what it tells us. It tells me I'm supposed to be a faithful husband to Becky. It tells me how to be a father. What? How incredible blessings. And I'm supposed to be drawing water out of those wells with joy in my heart that I get it. Shouldn't I be thankful I've got that water to drink every day of my life? Shouldn't I? Draw water with joy out of the wells of salvation, which are in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you right now, you need to come get some of this. Come and get it. There's another place in Isaiah where it says, come ye to the waters. Come ye. I think it's Isaiah 55:1. I'll get there in about 2.5 years at this rate. Isaiah 55:1 says, come ye to the waters. By the way, that's not an invitation to people to come get eternal life. That's an invitation to people that have eternal life to come get some water out of the wells of salvation. Come ye to the waters. Then it's a poor man's market, because he says down there, even if you don't have anything, come. Get some of this water. Buy it without even milk, without money, and without price. Isn't that great? All right. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that the truth of God's word will save you. The truth of the gospel will save you. The truth of the gospel has saved me. I'm going to tell you right now, I do not go to bed at night worried about whether God's children are going to make it to heaven. I do not worry about that. I do worry about, are they going to get some of this water? I do worry about that. And I probably shouldn't worry about that. My time is up and I'm to point one. Point one is all, that's it. Okay, let me just hasten on here. I would be willing to say that the song service is a well of salvation as well. Would you? The song service is a deep well of salvation. It's in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the way, does he not say in Isaiah, listen at it now, does he not say in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 5, listen at it, he says, sing unto the Lord. That means corporate singing as the assembly, as the body of Christ, singing hymns of praise to God is a well of salvation. There's salvation in it. We're supposed to sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. Singing and making melody in our heart toward God. Singing is a well of salvation in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say, if you're not drawing water out of that well, you should. Another one. Third point I was going to make. I was going to spend, 10 minutes on each one of these. The third thing I was going to mention was corporate public prayer. Christ said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Boy, is it not a blessing when Clinton Hawkins and Harold Stumbo kneel down and lead us in corporate prayer to God as an organized assembly of believers on Sunday or Wednesday night or whenever. Is that not a blessing when we're led in prayer? Isn't that great? Now, y'all, the Bible says we're supposed to pray in our closets. The word closet in the Bible means private room, not where you hang your clothes. Of course, I don't care if you pray in your closet. But we're supposed to have private prayer life, but I'm talking about the salvation that we get from corporate, public prayer in the house of God. Is that a blessing? Is it a well of salvation? I love the fact, I think it was Jimmy that started us praying in the middle of the song service. I think it was Brother Jimmy that did that. I love that. It's great. We're going to continue to have prayer when John's here at 10:15, from 10:15 to 10:30, on the Sundays that John is here, that God would open doors. I hope you'll start coming to that, if you're not coming. Corporate prayer, what a blessing that is. And the fourth thing I was going to say, but I don't have time to say, is the well of salvation that it is just to have fellowship with the saints of God. Do you know I'm going to tell you, one of the number one blessings that comes out of that well of salvation, fellowship with the saints of God, is just I get strength from you. I get strength from you. And you don't have to do anything for me to draw strength from you. Just your presence. Amen? We gain strength from each other. This is one of the deep wells of salvation in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, let me close. This is too long, but I want to read Revelation 22 as an invitation. Revelation 22 and 17. Here's my invitation to you. And we're going to sing a couple of verses. Seth, look up, I think it's 313. Just as I am, I think it's 313. 314. Get there. Okay? Listen to this. And the Spirit, Revelation 22 and 17, and the Spirit and the Bride, the Spirit and the Bride, that's the church, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit says, come. The church says, come. By the way, that means we're supposed to be saying, come. If y'all help me remember, I'll put that on the side. Just the word come. Come, period. Help me remember to do that. Come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth. All right, if you hear the message, you hear the gospel message, it means something to you. What are you supposed to do? Say nothing? And let him that heareth say nothing. No, let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is what? Athirst. Let him come. Well, if he's thirsty, what does he need? He needs a drink out of these wells of salvation. That's what he needs. and whosoever will. I can't tell you the times this is quoted that it's like an invitation to dead people to get eternal life. It is no such animal. This is an invitation to thirsty people to come to the house of God and get some water out of these wells of salvation. That's what this is saying. And whosoever will, let him come and take up the water of life, the water that will sustain your life. This water, these wells of salvation that'll make you happier than you are now, make us all happier, make us all stronger. All right, thank you for your attention. This is too long a sermon. We're going to sing two verses of Just As I Am, and I want you